This is InfoTrack, a balanced look at today's most important issues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Our next guest says workforce development is essential for America. We welcome Brianna McCain from the J.P. Morgan Chase Policy Center. When people think about national security, they picture missiles and microchips, not workforce training. Why do you believe the talent shortage is becoming a security issue?
It really comes down to the fact that without a talent pipeline, capital cannot translate into production. So the U.S. can allocate funds, craft ambitious industrial strategies, and pass legislation to expand supply chains, but without sufficient talent, execution will fall short. So simply put, America's talent shortage is a national security risk. If we don't have the talent pool for critical industries like supply chain advanced manufacturing, defense and aerospace, energy independence and resilience, and frontier and strategic technologies, then we put ourselves at risk.
Of those different shortages in those sectors you just mentioned, what would you say is the most urgent right now?
Across the various industries, there are significant shortages, so it's hard to pick just one. But a really great example is the fact that right now we're experiencing a cybersecurity workforce shortage, specifically to the number of 265,000 skilled workers. And in addition, critical industries such as shipbuilding, we need to have 250,000 new skilled shipbuilding workers over the next decade. So we're dealing with current workforce shortages and also projections of significant workforce shortages.
Reportedly, 40% of adults lack basic digital skills. Basic digital skills, what does that mean in today's economy?
Almost all jobs require you to have digital skills. So it doesn't matter whether it's advanced manufacturing or if you're working in AI, we all need digital skills in order to complete our jobs. And it's really concerning that a lot of Americans lack those skills. And we really need to make sure that we're investing in education to ensure that learners and workers have access to the up and reskilling that they need in order to close that skills gap.
Apprenticeships, they sound great. What's stopping employers from using them more widely right now?
One of the challenges that a lot of employers face when trying to leverage apprenticeship programs is that they may not recognize the type of skilling that that employer is looking for. Historically, apprenticeship programs have focused on the skilled trades. They're increasingly being used for other industries like finance and healthcare. However, some of the standards that currently exist, especially if you want to register your program, say with the Department of Labor, don't necessarily align to the skilling approaches of employers. For example, apprenticeship programs can be time-based, meaning you have to spend a certain amount of time in training. However, for some employers, it might make more sense to have a competency-based program, meaning that someone progresses in their apprenticeship program once they demonstrate certain skills. So one of the things that prevents employers from participating in the program is the standards that currently exist may not be flexible enough. And also there's some administrative barriers. For example, if you're a national employer, you have to register your program in multiple states rather than being able to easily deploy that program across various states.
Our guest is Brianna McCain from the J.P. Morgan Chase Policy Center, and we're talking about the need for workforce development. Brianna, how do you make employer-based training work for small businesses and not just Fortune 500 companies?
In the policy brief that we released specifically focused on this topic, one of the things that we highlight is the need to actually provide funds to small and mid-sized businesses to help them provide that training. And this can be done through reauthorizing what we call the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act, which is a federal law that focuses on strengthening the nation's public workforce system. And so we call for BOA to specifically support incumbent worker training so that workers can up and reskill.
At the state level, you recommend expanding access to work-based learning. What should that look like for high school students versus adult career changers?
at the high school level, work-based learning can be a spectrum. Like that can include job shadowing all the way to an internship, for example. However, what's key to work-based learning is that we want to make sure people are getting hands-on experience so that they're developing skills that directly connect to the needs of employers. And so at the high school level, you can have things like youth apprenticeships where students are actually going to employers and are working. And JPMorgan Chase, we have a youth apprenticeship program ourselves in New York and have found that to be really valuable. And then for adult workers, obviously you want to make sure that they are receiving training that also aligns with the needs of industry. However, without some of the limitations that high schoolers face, you're in a position to be able to engage in programs like full-time apprenticeship programs.
What are the real-world consequences if these roles stay empty? For example, slower growth, higher prices, weak supply chains, or all of those, perhaps?
We really need to look at workforce development, not as a cost, but as a strategic asset. Because if we are not able to fill these critical jobs in these critical industries, then we cannot stay globally competitive. So the issues that you just laid out could definitely take place.
How does the U.S. compare, would you say, overall versus, let's say, China and Russia in terms of workforce development? Are we behind? Are we close? Are we ahead? Where would you say we are?
The U.S. is losing ground in the global competition for skills as China and key allies invest heavily in STEM and technical training, while many American communities struggle to meet workforce demand. So there is definitely an emerging gap there.
Tell us a little more about JPMorgan Chase's 10-year Security and Resiliency Initiative.
The Security and Resiliency Initiative is $1.5 trillion over 10 years. And the plan is to facilitate, finance, and invest in industries that we view as being critical to national economic security and resiliency. We're specifically focused on those four industries that I mentioned before: supply chain and advanced manufacturing, defense and aerospace, energy independence and resilience, and frontier and strategic technologies. And so our approach basically has three components. So we plan to deploy capital to those strategic industries. We're also will be engaging in policy and research leadership, which is why we released the policy brief that we did called Working to Win, Rebuilding America's Workforce for an Age of Geopolitical Competition. And we also plan to leverage our philanthropic arm to also support efforts to up and reskill people for jobs in these critical industries.
As we wrap this up, if you only had the power to change one thing in the next 12 months to strengthen America's talent pipeline, what would it be?
For me, it would be strengthening employer partnerships. It's so critical that employers are at the table as education and workforce programs are being developed to ensure that those programs are meeting not just the needs for today, but what employers are forecasting to be the needs for tomorrow.
Brianna McCain from the JPMorgan Chase Policy Center, we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.